Hello and welcome to The Leaderverse with your hosts, Drew Lee, Lucas Sheradin, and me, Jesse Button. What a great time today as I speak on March 20th, 2024, to talk about change, especially big changes in the real estate space, but especially for leaders. We focus on the importance of adapting and the proactive steps in these times of uncertainty, right? We talk about it's really a need as leaders to embrace this change because we know it's our opportunity for growth. So we learned today about being mindful of surrounding ourselves with positive influences so we can narrow our focus and move forward in positive solutions. All that and more today on The Leaderverse.
So change.
That's the topic of the day because it's, you know, the real estate space, it's the NAR settlement that's caused some. And I told our agents yesterday, said, number one rule, don't post on social media. Number two rule is this is an opportunity for you to talk to all your clients and tell them what it really means. Because, you know, when the media comes out, says 6% commissions are gone. Well, that's not completely accurate.
Right.
Because they just kind of, actually that statement is an antitrust violation because they just made an emphatic statement across the board that's non-negotiated. and so I think that how any leader masters change is everything. And how we handle it in the midst of uncertainty or the feelings of uncertainty, there's nothing uncertain about the real estate space. It's buyers are still going to buy, sellers are going to still sell, we're still going to compensate, and the person, you know, who delivers the most value is always going to get paid. And that's, however, there's a perception of change. And so how do we self-regulate amidst change and uncertainty? How do we create certainty? Because that is a human need. It's interesting. We have the human need of certainty. We have the human need of uncertainty. At the same time, we have both needs. It's like, we don't like to be bored because we have a need of uncertainty. We want to have some sort of spice in life. We want to have some sort of variety. It's why professional sports is so massively popular, because you go sit in the stadium and you're certain you're going to watch a game and certain that you're not going to get hurt doing it. And certain that no matter what the outcome is, your finances are going to be okay, your family's going to be okay. But you're totally uncertain that what the scoreboard's going to be at the end of the game. Mm-hmm. So that's why I think the philosophy of sports is fascinating, because we get both those needs met. But right now, leaders have to provide certainty to the people who are feeling uncertain. And how we master and navigate change is everything, I think, especially in the real estate space.
Yeah, there's a cute book on simple truths called Change is Easy, You Go First.
Yeah, that's so good.
And because, you know, inevitably, the human condition doesn't like change, because we do like certainty. We like things we can depend upon. One of the best, you know, another book, which is, you know, it's an old classic and it's really short and really easy and very applicable. It just says, "Who moved my cheese?" And it's a story of four mice that every day they wake up and there's a block of cheese in this maze that they live in. And they get up every morning and they go to it and they eat till their heart's content. They go about the rest of their day. And then one morning they wake up and it's gone. And that represents change. And two of the mice immediately, I think it's called scratch and scurry, if memory serves me. They don't think about it. They immediately like run to find where it went. It's not here. They didn't pause. They didn't think about it. They said, "Oh, not where it was. Go find it." And they scurry off to go find where the cheese is. And you don't see them for the rest of the story. The other two mice, appropriately named Him and Haw, stay there. And they wait.
I forgot about that.
And they complain. And they talk about the good old days where the cheese was there. And they talk about how great it used to be. And they talk about, well, when it comes back and when it will come back. And I think a lot of people do this with any kind of economic times. Remember the good old days, or when interest rates were at 2.75% less than a year ago. All of these things, and rather than just take action and get moving. Go find where the opportunity is for you, for the economy, for your business, for your health. When things or change is thrust upon you, how long do you hem and haw about the change itself, complain about it, talk about the good old days before it was there, and Long story short, one of the mice ends up taking off at the 11th hour, is borderline starving, can't wait anymore, can't hold out anymore, and goes to find the cheese. And you don't really, the story doesn't reveal this, but you get the impression that the fourth mouse just chose to stay until they die, till it was too late. And when change happens in your world, I want you to think about it. It's like, which one are you going to choose to be? Because 90% of succeeding or failing when change happens is simply our response to it. It's our reaction to it.
I remember sitting in a CEO of a real estate company's sitting in his office. There's a group of leaders sitting around, and we had experienced, some shifting in the market. And he made the statement, goes, "I know you guys are all saying, gosh, we hate this change. I wish it wouldn't have changed." And he literally sat on the table, put his head down, goes, "I wish it wouldn't have changed either, but it did. Now what?" And actually, like that moment, that was a leadership moment. It's like nobody, it's howling at the moon to complain about change. Why would we howl at the moon? It's like I could howl at it all I want. The moon's not going to be affected by my howling.
Well, the
That's
reason
what.
we do it is because the easiest way for one human to connect with another is through complaining.
Yeah, it's the fastest way to galvanize a crowd.
So not only does complaining connect one person to another, it also creates an artificial sense of security. It creates that, oh, I'm not in this alone. We're into this together. Let's talk about, i.e., two mice went off immediately to go find what had changed and create their own opportunity, and the other two stayed. You notice, like, one didn't break off at a time. There was certainty in numbers. There was certainty in complaining. There was certainty in solutions. So I would say also be really careful of who you're surrounding yourself with whenever change happens and there's an uncertainty. Viktor Frankl, the author of Man's Search for Meaning, said between stimulus and response, there is a space. In the space is our power to choose our response. In our response lies our growth and our freedom. You can summarize that saying the magic happens between stimulus and response.
Drew, I
Because
read
in
that
that.
text to me when I it was 5 minutes after the alarm went off the other day when I read that text and I went to the gym. So thank you. That's how I responded. I appreciate it. You made a lasting effect.
I think that the brilliance of that statement too, Drew, and this is probably where you spend a lot of your time as a coach, is that space is where great leaders see the opportunity, because every change is an opportunity. It's baked in. There's baked in that, oh my gosh, the market just changed. Oh my gosh, the stock market went down. Oh my gosh, the housing market just changed. Oh my gosh, mortgage just changed. The rules on brokerage just changed. And while a group of people will galvanize around complaining and howl at the moon, that changes nothing. It changed. Great leaders say, okay, my emotions, I'm going to regulate. And what are we going to do and pivot with the change so that we maximize this moment? And that's what a good coach does. Is that right? Or would you know what a good coach does, Drew?
A good coach is an observer, and they watch, in sports, they watch the field,
That's
they
right.
watch the plays, they watch their performers or their players or their athlete, and they look for what is happening, all right, and where do we want to be, and then what are the changes necessary to make that observation occur in reality. The way your athlete is throwing the javelin or the discus or on the track and field or in, on the football field or in the baseball field. It's like, it's those adjustments that need to be made, but they've got to do it from a place of almost neutrality of, okay, we all know our game is to, or our goal is to win the game or to outperform everyone else. It's okay. Well, when things are happening, conditions are happening, opponents are playing differently. It's how you adjust.
So good.
I love the word opportunity. It always does something in my brain. You know the parable of the man stuck on the island. He's stranded on a desert island and he prays to God to get off of the island. And he's a faithful man, so he believes, he knows that he's going to be rescued by his God. And then there's a guy on a boat that comes by. He's like, "Here, man, I've got you. Come on, let's go. And he says, no thanks. God's going to save me. So a great coach looking at a field, looking at the athletes and understanding what's going on. I think leaders have a gigantic opportunity right now to grow in people because the opportunity, the message, people feel fearful. Y'all, I'm not a real estate sales agent anymore, and I feel fearful because of this new change and this new message going on. That was my first question to you, Lucas, before we started recording, like, hey, can I have Lucas's expert explanation of this? But really, as leaders, our opportunity right now is to not calm the fear, but use it, understand people's fear, and add to your tribe right now. If you're the one to solve that problem for someone, if you're the one that's able to give someone a little bit of uncertainty, they're part of your tribe now, and
Yes.
not the complaining, doing nothing tribe.
Whenever change happens, Jesse, we've got to be aware, which is the first step to transformation. Any kind of a transformation starts with awareness. Well, we've got to be aware of, okay, how important is this? Does it matter? And then how controllable is this, or what can I control? And we talked about like the government is in conversations around whether or not they're going to allow TikTok to continue. And there are people that make money in TikTok doing content creation. Okay. That's change thrust upon people. If it all of a sudden goes away and that's your livelihood and you've been content creating and you've been getting paid for it, all of a sudden, boom, it's gone. Okay. All right. Now, can't control that. So it's one of those things can't control. But when you narrow down what matters, clearly also losing a job, that matters. You got to narrow your field or your purview of, okay, I have to find what's controllable and what matters. What I find amazing is it's March 20th when we're doing this recording. Let's rewind 4 years ago.
The
Four
kids were
years
getting
ago,
a
nearly
second
to the
week.
day.
Yeah, the
Wow.
kids were getting a second spring break week off of school 4 years ago today.
Yeah. What's
That's
going to
crazy.
happen? What's the world going to be? What's the economy going to be? What's the job market going to be? Are you essential? Or are you non-essential? That was the craziest moment that I can recall in my adult life because everything was speculative and it was either faith or fear based in many cases. And none of it really mattered because there wasn't that much in the window between controllable and mattered. So I saw business people do something really, really smart. They got their expenses in alignment with their business unapologetically. They let people go that needed to be let go, that weren't either performing or they were out of budget on their staffing. They canceled the doohickeys and the gadgets and the gizmos and the tech that was unneeded or wasn't paying off. They got just so unapologetic and lean about their expenses. They kept investing in things that worked and they got rid of things that didn't. And then we looked into what they do next. They got into action. They connected with their customer base. I don't care what business you're in today. Wow, what would happen if you just did that every month? Let's get
Yes.
super unapologetically lean and let's connect with our customer base.
So good.
That's a how-to on the how to be the greatest business leader ever all the time.
Well, and then fast forward 4 or 5 months. The dust settled and we saw, okay, I think we can see what's happening. Obviously, people still buying and selling. They're still buying and selling products. They're still buying and selling service. You saw things fundamentally change. There was government intervention. You could start seeing what direction things were going to be heading, especially if you wanted to thrive and lead the pack, lead the charge. Be an early adopter to the change that was happening. Well, there are changes happening in the economy today. There are changes happening in mortgage and real estate and the stock market, in technology. There's a political arena that's rapidly changing. Okay, what can you control? What can you change? What matters? And then what actions can you take that while the dust settles and you see where are things likely ahead? It's going to serve you either way.
That is so good because you know what the thing is, Drew, is I'm thinking about 4 years ago today. I just got back from a speaking trip because I made a lot of my income from traveling and speaking. And then it's like, oh my goodness, I can't travel and speak anymore. I can't do this. In fact, I didn't even know how important toilet paper was until the next couple of weeks, right? It's like, oh my gosh, we can't get toilet paper. We can't. And we all, it was interesting because we actually stayed inside our house because we just didn't know.
Yes.
And that it's interesting because looking back on it is what happened. We became better. We became more mindful and more aware. We became more health conscious and be more sensitive to things. And I know there's a lot of debates around different things, but the truth is we became more aware. We actually became more smarter. We actually found innovative ways. You know, I wish on March 19th I would have bought a bunch of stock in Zoom. It's right because we found ways to communicate and to be together without having to be together. And it's interesting. It's when you have goals, it's just like water coming down the hill. It's like nothing's going to stop the water. It's just going to go around the rocks. It's just going to move around. It's going to find the lowest spots. It's going. And what I learned about humanity is we figure it out. We survived, and not only survived, some of us thrived. I love that question on March 20th. What were you doing 4 years ago today? I remember that next week. This was my aha. It's like, okay, I so leaned into relationships. I remember finishing the week, like I am more tired now than I've ever been. It was like I was doing like 12 Zooms a day with no breaks in between because I didn't plan drive time. I didn't plan any other downtime. It's like we had to adjust to a whole new reality. And it's like, hey, Jesse, your camera's on. Jesse, you might want to turn off your camera right now. You know, it's like all those things. But we Drew, that is such a fascinating thing because that was massive change imposed upon us and
And it
human
happened a
beings.
short window of time, and we leaned in with one focus. Where can I add more value to the people I serve? And I don't care if it was fear-based or faith-based. The fact that we leaned in, if you succeeded in that time, you leaned into your customer base like you never have before. And in many cases, if you owned a gym, you were shut down. You own a restaurant, you were shut. It's what you did next. I saw restaurants become instant grocery stores because they were allowed to be open, whereas a restaurant wasn't. And then we became more grateful for things that we took for granted. I met, remember the first time you went to a restaurant post
You're
the
like,
shutdown? The first time you went and saw a
yeah.
movie and you were able, it's like, we went to a movie theater. Hello. The first time you went somewhere and
I got
just
on an airplane. I
got on
remember the
an
first time I
airplane.
got on an airplane, and Southwest Airlines wouldn't let anybody sit in the middle seat. I'm like, yes, let's always do it this way.
Yes.
But remember, we did weird stuff. We did weird stuff that felt strange. And it was, remember, we used to dance at the beginning of Zoom meetings. We used to play music, and
Yeah.
that was weird, but we all did it. We all pivoted in all these different ways. We tried to find ways to gather people together, to connect with people, because that was like we were fighting for our most human need in a way, right? And
And
so
no
we
one
did
knew
everything
what was
different.
going to happen is the part we they could, every human could speculate, and many did one way or the other. And then there were many that blamed one side or the other of what was happening and why it was happening and how it was happening. And the fundamental reality is, okay, none of us know when change happens, none of us know the outcome. That's why it's called change. It's unknown. That's why it's often the thing we fear most, because it's unknown. It rocks our certainty. But when all of this happens, just really be mindful of what you read, who you're around, and then who is actually doing something productive, empowering, positive. And because that's the people you want to be around. You don't want to be around the doomy, gloomy, complainy, whiny, or even the people who are speculative and they want to teach you from a sense of expertise of what you should do next.
Yeah, they don't know.
When the reality is none of us know. I did, I looked on social media and I saw how many like webinars and content is like, we'll help you navigate through this. You don't know any more than I do. Now we can all go to the fundamentals and say, but what I can do is I can help you look at your customer base and see where's an opportunity to serve them at a deeper level. We can do that. We can figure things out that are proactive, positive, and will keep you moving forward. What I love about business owners is I guarantee no matter what business you're in, when you look at your 2024 goals and your business plan, I'm going to make an assumption here. Forgive me. But I assume it wasn't subject to any, like, it wasn't subject to, well, we will absolutely hit our goal if interest rates come down. We'll hit our goal if my president gets in office or is elected or reelected. We'll only hit our goal if blank happens. I don't imagine your business plan was subject to any specific scenario occurring or not occurring. So
Okay.
I spent the weekend reviewing business plans. You know what I noticed? None of them were predicated or none of them were subject to something happening externally. So, ladies and gentlemen, what's changed from your plan to where you are today and the next action you're going to take to get there?
Pretty excellent.
Well,
Pretty excellent advice.
yeah, and here's what I love about, I love so much about where Drew's going today. It really is all perspective. And sometimes I need a coach to help me get out of my own head and see it. But it really is perspective. If every change is really is a massive opportunity if we let it be, if we let the change do its work and be okay, make peace with that really massively uncomfortable feeling. I mean, it's like we feel uncomfortable inside. It's like, oh my gosh, I don't want this. I like my toilet paper. It's like
Let's talk about that for a second.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
Of course,
September
you'd want to talk about
2017.
toilet paper.
Well, it's September 2017. This is why it's so important of who you surround yourself with, why it matters, and what you do next. Because it's September 2017, Dallas, Texas, and there had been a hurricane recently. It hit the Gulf Coast, and there was a fear of a gas shortage. The fear of a gas shortage. Where there wasn't one, I want to be really clear, there was no gas shortage. There was a fear of a gas shortage that created a panic to the pump movement. And you had lines an hour long waiting to get gas. And people were running out and filling up their cars left and right and everywhere in between. And the fear of a gas shortage actually created a temporary gas shortage. What did we do? Well, humans are really smart. We didn't run get canned goods, non-perishables, things that we could actually eat and survive. We became afraid of losing toilet paper. So we went and literally stripped stores of this amazing edible resource called toilet paper. That's how smart we are. And the fear of something happening became the self-fulfilling prophecy that we created. So be really mindful of what you are most afraid of that you're not actually creating. And if you're doing it with a bunch of other people, you're more likely to create that outcome.
Even more powerful. Add on more hems and more haws to your mouse squad, and you're going to stay right there. Absolutely. I remember that. I remember that. I remember I live in Dallas, and my son was really young, and I remember seeing those lines, not watching the news, not really knowing what's going on yet, and getting in line. It's mass hysteria. And if you're not aware, you need to be get aware quick. Get around people that are aware quick. My gosh. Great example.
So good. So good. And so I think if we were going to summarize today's conversation, how would you guys summarize it?
The word that I highlighted the most on my notes here from our conversation is opportunity. It's opportunity. There is, I think that the vast majority of people in, well, I'll stick to the real estate industry right now because we spoke about the news so much, are fearful, and they're incorrect in their fear if they look at the opportunity.